I want to thank you for coming. I want to welcome you. I want to thank you for your giving to help feed others in our neighborhood. You, again, did very well. I'll deliver that this week. Please invite others to seek the truth and hope in life and the Holy Spirit here with us. Next Sunday, we'll remember Jesus' death for our sin. So please prepare for that event. Have your communion elements ready. Love of God and a desire for us to be His family is all around us, and I encourage you to look for it. This may be the last time we have to do this remotely. We'll have a board meeting in a couple days and talk about getting back together soon. So as we look into the book of Acts, striving to figure out this life in the Holy Spirit that they experienced, our message is May 31st of 2020. I entitled it, Peter is Rescued. It's taken from Acts chapter 12, if you want to open your Bibles there, and we'll cover verses 6 through 12. My outline is, Peter is rescued. Number one, the Lord stops Herod. Number two, the Lord's angel. Number three, the Lord saves Peter. Written into God's script of His grand drama, today we get to meet two people, and I want you to know more about them. Her name is Mary, and her son is John Mark. When we look at Acts chapter 12, verse 12, our last verse for today, it says, when Peter understood what happened, he went to Mary's house. Mary was the mother of John Mark. Many people had gathered in her home. They were praying there. That's the end of Acts 12, 12. Mary's home was a place believers gathered in. Peter knew people would be there praying for him. Today, we would say Mary's home was the epicenter of the church spreading. Think about it in the context of the verbiage we use today. The epicenter center of the spread of the virus of the Holy Spirit and the Church of Jesus Christ, Mary's home. Most historians believe Mary's large upper room is where the Last Supper took place. Jesus' last meal probably took place in her home. Her son, John Mark, will hook up here with Paul and Barnabas and travel with them. So think about it. It's Passover. We're in Jerusalem. We're in Mary's house. And her son, John Mark, meets this dynamic duo of Paul and Barnabas and takes off on a world adventure of evangelism with them. You may have heard or read about John Mark. In about 50 years, the Holy Spirit will co-author the Gospel of Mark with him. John Mark and Dr. Luke were friends, and they wrote their Gospels in Rome about the same time, about 50-some-odd years from now. John Mark is most likely the one telling Dr. Luke this story for us to read in Acts. Think about it. Dr. Luke gets witnesses and their testimony to write the book of Acts. The high probability is John Mark is the one telling Dr. Luke what we're reading. The NIV Reader's Version of Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse 6 and all the way through verse 12. It was night. It was the night before Herod was going to bring Peter to trial. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Two chains held him there. Lookouts stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared. A light shone in the prison. An angel struck Peter on his side. Peter woke up. Quick, the angel said. Get up. The chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and your sandals. So Peter did it. Put on your coat, the angel told him. Follow me. Peter followed him out of prison. He had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was dreaming or seeing a vision. They passed through the first and second guards. Then they came to an iron gate leading to the city. It just opened for them all by itself. Peter went through it. They walked the length of one street. Suddenly, the angel left Peter. Then Peter realized what had happened. He said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent his angel. He has set me free from Herod's power. He has saved me from everything the Jewish people were hoping for." When Peter understood what had happened, he went to Mary's house. Mary was the mother of John Mark. Many people had gathered in her home. They were praying there. That's the end of our text for today. So, my outline. Peter is rescued. Number one, the Lord stops Herod. Herod was going to bring Peter to trial in the morning. The government then and now and in the future will do things to individuals that are not right. We need to put our trust in God, not government. We see major events in our present day in a response to what happened to one black individual. People are doing amazing things, and we need to put our trust in God in this time, not our trust in the government. My outline. Herod was going to behead Peter tomorrow. Herod was going to behead Peter tomorrow. And underline the word behead. Man's plans are not sovereign like God's are. Many people don't like or believe this. Think about it. Man's plans are not sovereign. Only God's plans are sovereign. And when people think that they have sovereign authority and that their plans will prevail, that's a problem. When we see people taking in mob violence into the streets of our city, it's an illustration of this sin problem. At that time, the church gathered also, but they prayed to God. The church at that time had seen someone die unrighteously. It wasn't right what they did to James. But they didn't react in mob violence in the streets. What they did is they gathered together and they didn't pray for each other. They prayed to God. Do you get angry when things don't go the way you planned? Like the graduations these days, or the wedding plans that are changing, or the camps you hope to have, or the vacations you wanted to do. I do. I get angry when things don't go the way I had planned. Why do you think that happens to you and to me? The thing is, in Genesis, the problem is they wanted to be like God, knowing what's good and evil. That's the sin problem. Mankind wants to be like God, wants to be the ones that judge good and evil, and then execute their judgment by rioting and burning and looting. B. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Peter was very well guarded. 16 soldiers guarding one man. Think about it. 16 soldiers guarding one man. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Underline the word sleeping. Does that sound comfy to be handcuffed between two soldiers? If you knew that the king was going to cut off your head in the morning, how well would you be sleeping? If you knew tomorrow morning you were going to be beheaded, would you be sound asleep? I'm thinking that Herod was hoping Peter would be terrified that night, hoping that maybe he would be bitter against God for putting him in this big mess. I haven't done anything wrong. Why am I here in prison all locked up? Do you think you would be reacting like Peter is to this? If you were in prison unjustly and knowing you're going to be beheaded in the morning, do you think you would be reacting like Peter? Sound asleep? See in my outline. What was Peter sleeping on? What was Peter sleeping on? And underline the word what. How do you picture this? Peter is in handcuffs to his soldiers by his hands or his feet. How do you picture that? What is that like? My first trip to Daytona Beach, I ended up in handcuffs and spending the night in a Daytona Beach jail. And I'll tell you, it's not easy to sleep in a jail cell, even when you're not handcuffed. Sleep seems to be a big problem, a big deal here in the USA. As I watch TV, I see a lot of commercials about it. Selling mattresses, pillows, and pills. That's a large portion of the commercial advertising, trying to help people find a mattress and a pillow or a pill that'll help them get a good night's sleep. I read that Americans spend over $500 million trying to get to sleep. Over 800,000 pounds of barbiturates are taken a year. 800,000 pounds of pills to sleep. So how could Peter sleep so soundly? Well, I think Peter was sleeping on the past. Peter was resting on God's past practices. Peter wasn't worried. He was sleeping on what he had known from God in the past. He was sleeping well on God's past practices. We could do this too. We could sleep like babies every night if we slept on God's past and his practices. Mark Twain may be of use to us today. He was leaving church one morning when one of the sudden downpours of the spring rain started. We saw a lot of that this week. All of a sudden, downpours here in the Midwest. Mark's friend asked him if he thought it would stop. Twain replied, "Well, it always has." What's my point? Mark Twain looked at a terrible storm, downpour, and asked, "Well, will it stop?" His comment was, "It always has." The same way the problems we're in, they will pass. It always has. I think Peter was sleeping on Jesus' promise. Jesus and Peter had a conversation after Jesus rose from the dead. Peter had denied knowing Jesus three times, so now he asked three times if he loved Jesus. "Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me more than these?" Three times to equal out the three times he denied. And then this happened in John 21, verse 18. Jesus is speaking, "What I'm about to tell you, Peter, is true. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Someone else will dress you. Someone else will lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to point out how Peter would die. His death would bring glory to God. That's the end of John 21. Peter knew when and how he would die. This is not it. He would be old and he would be crucified. And because he didn't think it was right for him to be crucified in the same way as his Savior, he asked to be crucified upside down. And they did it for him. Number two on my outline, the Lord's angel. The Holy Spirit sent an angel to rescue Peter. Angels are God's messengers. They are divinely created beings with supernatural powers. And they sometimes take on human appearance in order to talk to people. So think about it. Angels are God's messengers. They are not born like humans and animals. They are created individually with individual different powers and abilities. And they sometimes appear in human form. But most of their existence is not in a human form. Martin Luther wrote this for us. "An angel is a spiritually created being by God, without a body, for the service of Christendom and the church." The end. So Martin Luther said, they're a spiritual creature that is created by God to serve us and the church. Angels are God's servants, just like we are. They often make quite an entrance into God's grand drama. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared. I have one A.W. Tozier quote for this week. This is it. Anyone who wants can put a film of unbelief over their eyes and thus deny the existence and activity of angels. I'm going to read that one more. Anyone who wants to can put a film of unbelief over their eyes and thus deny the existence and activity of angels. But in doing so, he or she is denying clear biblical teaching. Some protest to a discussion of angels, saying, "Let's be practical," by which they mean, "Let us limit our considerations to three-dimensional, sense-perceived objects." There is a day coming when all of our questions about angels will be answered. On that day, we will discover that the ministry of angels are indeed very practical and very real. We live in a world of God-created beings, many of them not seen by us or those around us. We ought to thank God for the angels, for God's providential circumstances each day. That's the end of my A.W. Tozier quote. So Martin Luther and A.W. Tozier have weighed in on angels. A. The angel shone. The angel shone. Underline shone. A light shone in the prison cell. Easter morning, two angels appeared in this way. An angel of God clearly came to Cornelius. What are your thoughts about angels? Are they real? There are 250 angel encounters in the Bible. Think about it. 250 angel experiences in the Bible. Which one is your favorite? Is it the Adam and Eve story of the angel with the big flaming sword guarding the tree of life? Is it Abraham's story when two angels and Jesus come to meet him before Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed by these two angels? Is it Daniel's story of him meeting Gabriel in Babylon? Is it David's story of the angel stopping him from doing things with the temple? Is it Jesus' story of after his temptation, angels coming, or on his last night here, angels coming to encourage him? Is it John's revelation with the angels revealed in the book of Revelations to us about things that are happening now and about to happen? Which one of these angel stories is your favorite? Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians 11:14 this warning, quote, "This should come as no surprise. Even Satan himself pretends to be an angel of light." The end. Satan himself pretends to be an angel of light. Billy Graham says this to us. Christians should never fail to sense the operation of angelic glory. It forever eclipses the world of demonic powers, as the sun does a candle's light. Boy, I butchered that one. Angels' glory is so much better than demonic powers that it's like a candle and a sun. I messed up that quote. Sorry, Billy. B on my outline. The angel struck. An angel struck Peter on his side. Who likes to be woke up like this? The original word can be translated kicked, which is my favorite. Peter is laying there sleeping, and the angel comes up and kicks him in the side and says, "Hey, wake up." Angels are, by their created nature, warriors. They are not created nice guys. They are, by their very nature, warriors. They are like God's police force in the spiritual realm. They are God's army in a war against the evil that is present all around us in the spiritual realm. Let's weigh in with John Calvin. Calvin writes, "Angels are dispensers of administrators of divine benevolence towards us. They regard our safety, undertake our defense, direct our ways, and exercise a constant vigil that no evil befall us." That's the end of the quote. So that's Calvin's thought on angels. See on my outline. The angel spoke. The angel spoke. Underline the word spoke. He said, quick. Oftentimes, angels' remarks are, quick, hurry up. He said, get up. Put on your clothes and your sandals. Put on your coat. Follow me. When you think about it, Peter is there sleeping, and he's got his clothes off. He's got his shoes off. He's got his coat off. He's really quite comfortable when the angel spoke to him and said, follow me. So Peter followed him. He didn't believe it was really an angel. He thought he was just dreaming. Past the first guard, then the second, they came to an iron gate that led into the city. It swung open before them all on its own. They went out in the street, just free as a breeze. At the first intersection, the angel left him going his own way. That's when Peter realized, hey, this is no dream. I can't believe it. This really happened. The master sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's vicious little production and the spectacle the Jewish mob was looking to do. Shaking his head in amaze, he went to Mary's house. Mary was John Mark's mother. The house was packed with praying friends. That's the end. That happens to be the Message translation. So, the Lord's angel. There are 250 angels encountered in the Bible. You heard what Martin Luther, John Calvin, A.W. Tozier, and Billy Graham said. My point. The problem and solution are spiritual, not physical. That's my point. The problem now is not physical. It's spiritual. The solution then, the solution now is spiritual, not physical. Think about it. We should react like they did. So, point number one, the Lord speaks to Herod. Point number two, the angel. And my last point, the Lord saves Peter. Peter followed but had no idea what was really happening. Peter followed, but had no idea what was really happening. Peter just followed. No questions or explanation. Just obedience. Think about it. He just followed. Didn't ask any questions. Didn't ask for any explanations. He just did it. Be on my outline. Later, Peter realized what happened. So underline the word later. Later, Peter realized what happened. Angels move at the speed of God. Think about it. Angels move at the speed of God. We need to try our best just to keep up. See on my outline. Later, Peter understood what had happened. Underline later. Peter understood what happened. The Holy Spirit will give understanding after our obedience. Think about it. The Holy Spirit will give understanding. He will. After our obedience. Or the other side, our disobedience equals low to no understanding. Why don't we understand what's happening? Why don't we see it spiritually? It's because of our disobedience. That's why we're experiencing low or no understanding. If we obeyed the Bible, if we believed the Bible, we would see and understand amazing spiritual things. This church was in the midst of a global pandemic of famine and in their grief over James' death, but they kept their heads and their hearts right. This church, in the midst of their global pandemic and famine and their grief over James' death, is not that much different than what we're experiencing today, but they kept their heads and their hearts right. They went to God. As an individual and a group. That's the lesson for us to learn. Keep our heads, keep our hearts right, as an individual and as a group. I think that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us in our day. Peter trusted and obeyed. I think that's what the Holy Spirit is wanting to teach us today. Peter trusted, obeyed, and then he understood. I think that's what the Spirit is wanting to teach each of us today. Let's pray. My Father in heaven, thank you so much for loving us. Father, thank you so much for your angels all around us. Thank you most of all for your Holy Spirit, not just around us, but in us. We call upon you and your spiritual helpers to lead us and guide us into a right heart and a right head today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.